Hello, my darlings. My name is Jessie, and welcome to my podcast, Tea with the Gods. I am so very sorry that this took way too long to be released. I just want to thank you all for being so patient and understanding with me. It truly means a lot. One of my goals in 2019 is to finally get this podcast on a regular uploading schedule so things like this don't happen again. So here's to consistency in the new year. Okay, you cupcakes waited long enough for this episode. So pour that cup of tea and let's discuss communicating with the gods. We're gonna get right into it, and let's break down the two big misconceptions about communicating with gods. The first is that being a Hellenic means a non-stop communication fest with the gods. All right, let me tell you what communicating with the gods is really like. We all have that one friend, or we are that one friend, where you send them a message and then don't get a response back until like 8 days later. Yeah, the gods are like that friend. It's much more likely that you're going to have to wait for a response than get one instantly when you pray or give an offering. And it's also a high possibility you won't get a response or feel anything. I know. The internet lied to you all, my friends. But here's the thing. We all have to remember that everyone on the internet gets to pick and choose what they share with the world. So when it comes to worship, the majority of what we're going to share is the high times, the moments when we felt the gods, or when we received a sign or prayer was answered. We're not going to go on the blog and be like, today is day 14 of not hearing from Artemis. She's probably too busy running in the woods with her gang of lesbians. Wish I was doing the same. Okay. Well, yes, we are blogging about how we would rather be running in the woods with Artemis and her gang of lesbians. But we're not blogging about how we haven't heard from her in 14 days. Because let's be honest, us as an audience, we really don't want to read about that. Communication as a topic is extremely popular in our community, so we want to hear about actual communication, which feeds into why people will only share moments of when they were successful in getting a response from their gods. So then when you scroll through someone's blog that is only sharing the times when they were able to communicate with the gods, it can give the illusion that being a Hellenic means a nonstop communication fest. And let's get real honest here. This is the internet we're talking about. People have complete control over what they post, and there's no way to prove whether what they share is fact or not. And this goes for all of us. You know, we're all trusting that what each of us is choosing to post is legitimately what happened and what we do in our worship. I'm not calling anyone out or trying to start something or saying everyone is a liar, but my point is that you can't get so wrapped up in what you read online, because the reality is that what you're obsessing over could be a complete fabrication. You have no way of knowing. Like I said, we just put faith in one another that what we're sharing is true. But because of that, I strongly urge you to not put so much stock in what you see others doing. And this includes myself as well. Spending too much time comparing your worship to others will leave you feeling defeated and stagnant. It's an awful feeling, and I don't want any of you to experience that. So to reiterate my point, don't expect nonstop communication with the gods in your worship. You're not always going to feel them when you pray or leave an offering, and you're not always going to get an answer to your prayers. That's the true life of a Hellenic. Okay, the second misconception is that being able to communicate with the gods equals being a fantastic worshiper, and the reverse, that the gods not communicating with you equals them hating you. So this is probably why I have a hard time with this topic. It's become such a focus that worshipers are now wrapping their entire self-worth as a follower into communication. All of this is just wrong. Like, so wrong, I can't even explain how wrong it is. For anyone who watches Scrubs, I want to sing Dr. Cox's Wrong song. I'm not going to, because this is a serious podcast, but trust me, I want to. Now, as I stated before, communicating is not an all-the-time thing. So you can't put the entire weight of your worship on it. It's all going to fall apart if you do. But that's not the only reason this misconception is painfully false. For those just starting out with worship, it's very unlikely that you're going to immediately be able to communicate with the gods. And there's plenty of reasons why that is. And none of them are because you aren't good enough or that your god actually dislikes you. First off, I think we should look at communicating with deities as a skill, which means it's something that requires practice and patience for us to develop. It also means that the majority of us are going to suck at it when we first attempt it. So why put so much emphasis on something that you're going to suck at for a while until you level up? That's not fair. Like, would you put your entire career as a Pokemon trainer on whether your level 5 Bulbasaur can beat a level whatever Charizard? I don't know what level Charmeleon evolves into Charizard, but whatever. You get my point. You can't put that big of a focus on communication because you still need to develop the skills to communicate. You need to give yourself the time and space to level up. And secondly, you also have to learn how your gods are going to communicate with you and what methods are going to work best. See, the thing that no one tells you, except me, because I'm not a regular mom, I'm a cool mom, is that the gods don't communicate the same with all their followers. I mean, why would they? That would be far too easy for us if they did. Although as frustrating as it seems, it's actually better this way, because as humans, we aren't that easy either. We all aren't going to be able to communicate with the gods the same way. Some methods just don't work for us, and the gods, being all-knowing and all-awesome as they are, know this. They know this before we know this. So they are going to communicate with you the best way that's going to work for you. But most beginners have no idea yet what method works best for them. So it can easily be that your god is attempting to make contact, but you haven't evolved yet into the worshiper who can receive those messages. And yes, I am still using this Pokemon metaphor because I think it works nicely, and also because I've been playing Pokemon Let's Go, so that's where my brain is. But it works, so it's okay. A third point I want to make is that you gotta remember that the gods have their own reasons for why they may not be around all the time. And not all of them involve having a vendetta against you. Seriously, that's most likely your own negative talk trying to shut you down. But that's a conversation for a different episode. You know, the thing is, the gods aren't always going to be there, and honestly, they shouldn't. While they are wonderful support, and they do aid us in many ways, we can't become so reliant on them. They can't fix everything for us, or hold our hands through everything. Sometimes going silent is their way of teaching us this, and also to show us that we are more capable than we give ourselves credit for. Other reasons a god may go silent is because they follow a certain cycle or seasonal pattern of being more or less active. For example, traditionally it was believed that Apollo left Delphi during the winter months. Many modern worshippers of Apollo have claimed that in the winter months he is either completely absent or less active. I personally have found this to be true of my own experiences with Apollo. He is definitely way more present in the warmer seasons. But you know, sometimes they just go randomly silent for no reason we know, and there's no real meaning for it. It just happens. Like I said, it's part of the Hellenic life. We aren't going to know why the gods do everything they do. It's not for us really to know. That's their business, and it's better for us to not dwell so much on it. Something that a lot of baby Hellenics seem to forget is that the concept of faith doesn't apply just to mainstream religions. Like, being a pagan doesn't eliminate your need for faith. Especially in our modern world, where our way of thinking is designed and shaped to demand proof. We need evidence to prove a theory, sources to make claims in essays, and even receipts when you're trying to call a bitch out. We want proof, but religion doesn't work that way. None of them do, pagan or not. You still need faith even as a Hellenic. Because regardless of where you are in your worship, there's going to be times when it seems like the gods aren't there. That they aren't listening, or you're not sure what they're doing or their reasonings. And in those moments, you need to have faith in them. Part of worship is putting trust in the gods. You have to still believe in them and love them, even during the silence. All right, so now that we are all on the same page on what communicating with the gods is actually like, let's discuss some methods of communicating. This by no means is an exhausted list of ways to communicate, just ones that I find to be common and that I have used myself. Divination is probably the most popular method when it comes to conversing with deities. The advantage of this method is that there's various forms of divination, so it's likely that you can find a form that really works for you and your gods. Of course, tarot and oracle cards are the most common, but if those aren't your thing, there's also pendulum reading, sky ring, shufflemancy, where you shuffle a playlist, bibliomancy, where you use books, tea leaf readings, automatic writing, and you can even go the route of the ancient Greeks by using dice or by using the ancient Greek alphabet oracle, which I use myself. A lot of worshippers actually use a bunch of different divination methods and may even use specific ones for specific deities. For example, I tend to use tarot and oracle cards when speaking to Aphrodite, Hermes, and Persephone. I also have specific cards I'll use for each god, but my Greek alphabet oracle I only really use when speaking with Apollo. You, of course, can use one method for all your gods. You don't need to be extra like me. It's whatever works for you. Another very popular method is meditation. I strongly recommend everyone try meditation because there's a ton of benefits to it, and one of those benefits is connecting with your deities. Not only can you receive messages and signs while meditating, the act itself opens you up to be more receptive in your everyday life. A lot of worshippers actually use this method in conjunction with other methods, such as divination, since it helps enhance your ability to communicate with higher powers. The dream world is a place that gods are known to make frequent visits and bestow some knowledge on us. This is why I think it's a good idea to start keeping a dream journal. So you can pick out possible important symbols or see if there's any repeating patterns between your dreams. Sometimes your deity may show up like, "Hey, what you doing? You dreaming?" But other times they aren't that obvious. Why would they make it easy on us? Recording your dreams is a great way to notice any patterns or important elements because sometimes it can take multiple dreams to get a message. This applies to the universe as well. Like, it took me a good chunk of my life to realize that when the universe wants me to pay attention, it throws an abundance of something in my dream, where I'll be like, "Shit, that's a lot of elephants." And then another dream years later, "What is with all these fucking spiders?" Keeping a dream journal makes it easier to notice things like that. You can also ask your deity to appear in your dreams if you're asking for a sign or a message. Of course, whether they do or not is up to them. Also, if you're into it, you can use things like herbs and stones to better receive messages in your dreams and to remember them when you wake up. Another realm where you might find the gods is in the astral. I personally don't know much about astral traveling, so I can't speak on it that much, but many worshippers from different pantheons have claimed to not only communicate with the gods, but full-on interact with them in the astral realm. Some even say they have deep relationships with their god in this realm, where they may be married and be intimate. So apparently the astral is the place to be. But it isn't an easy method to master. As tempting as it might sound, I definitely recommend you not start with this. Look to one of the others first, especially meditation, because if astral traveling is a goal of yours, learning to meditate is pretty essential. And lastly, one of my favorite methods for just about anything, journaling! I love journaling. Just like meditation, journaling has so many benefits outside of communicating with the gods, so it's definitely something I recommend everyone who can to try it out. Specifically for conversing with deities, this method is similar to keeping a journal for your dreams, except this is for the waking world. The gods can and do send signs in ways that might be easily overlooked, especially when we're busy running around and lost in our own thoughts of the day. Keeping a journal helps us stay mindful to what is going on around us and can help us spot pattern cycles and possible messages that we might have otherwise missed. I think by also being mindful during the day, it promotes a deeper and healthier connection with our gods. Like I said, journaling has many benefits to it. Also, for followers such as myself, who communicates with their gods through feelings and emotions, journaling is pretty essential. For me, the act of writing out what I'm feeling and experiencing helps me draw connections and figure out what's actually going on. I'm able to distinguish what is a message from Aphrodite and what is my own personal shit I gotta deal with. Journaling is an extremely powerful tool, and I very much encourage you to give it a go. All right, my lovelies, that's all I got for you today. I hope you feel more at ease regarding communication with the gods and have a better idea on what it actually entails. Now, before I say goodbye, I want to let you know what's in store for Tea with the Gods in 2019. As I said in the beginning of the podcast, it's going to get on a regular updating schedule, finally. And also, the Meet the Gods series will finally be released, but I'm going to do it differently than originally planned. If you follow me on Tumblr, you might have seen my 12 months of the Theoi post, where I talked about how in order to get to better know some of the Theoi, I would dedicate a month to them where I spend time researching them and learning about them and also honoring them. Since I'm doing that, I decided to incorporate the podcast by uploading multiple episodes dedicated to the God of the month. This way, you can follow along with me as I get better acquainted with the gods throughout the year. Also, no worries, I'm still going to be releasing episodes for the Hellenic Polytheism 101 series. There's a lot more within the series that I want to cover. And as always, to keep up with me and Moo Kitty, you can follow us on Tumblr and Instagram, both the Pastel Priestess, and now Twitter, which is under Tea with the Gods. Thanks again for being the very best listeners in the whole wide world, and I wish you all a very magical and rewarding new year. I love you guys. Bye.